Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hey, Mark. How are you doing?
Doing good. How are you, Mike?
Good. Good day. Chronic pain is something that you and I have talked about a lot. It's one of the most common reasons that patients come to the medical community, and it results from a combined biologic, psychologic, physiologic, social factors. And often the treatment of chronic pain requires a multifactorial approach to its management. Many patients require medications to manage pain, and we are all very aware that narcotics are discouraged, particularly for chronic pain. So we look for other regimens. NSAIDs are often effective, but they have side effects that can cause problems. The optimal choice of pharmacologic therapy obviously depends on the type of pain. Neuropathic pain needs to be distinguished from nociceptive pain, since the treatments actually differ. For nociceptive pain, NSAIDs, either topical or oral, can be effective. By the way, acetaminophen is not considered a first-line therapy for chronic pain. That's perhaps because it doesn't have a high efficacy, and there are concerns about hepatotoxicity when used at higher than recommended doses. NSAIDs can prove ineffective. The diagnosis of central sensitization or neuropathic pain could be considered. And a pain-relieving antidepressant, usually a tricyclic antidepressant or a serotonin norepinephrine receptor blocker, or possibly even an anti-epileptic, can be used as alternative drugs, drugs like gabapentin and pregabalin. Well, you found a poem. It was published in Lancet in 2020. It starts on page 909. It focuses on gabapentin, and it attempts to answer the question, is gabapentin effective in relieving pain, in this case, in women with chronic pelvic pain? So a common manifestation, lots of women with chronic pelvic pain. Is gabapentin something that we should be considering?
Yeah, certainly gabapentin, physicians are turning to it for lots of different kinds of painful conditions, not always successfully, but as we're being discouraged from using opiates for patients with chronic pain, you know, there's a desire to find something that we can do for patients. So this study was in the UK, 39 medical centers, included over 300 women. They were all 18 to 50 years of age. They had chronic idiopathic pelvic pain for at least 3 months. They excluded women who only had dysmenorrhea. Before they were randomized, women recorded their worst and their average pain each week for 4 weeks to establish a baseline and also establish adherence to participating. To be randomized to gabapentin or placebo, at least two of the worst scores had to be 4 out of 10 or higher. This kind of active run-in period does tend to stack the deck in favor of the intervention. In this case, it actually also kind of strengthens the conclusions, as we'll see. The dosing regimen for gabapentin started at 300 daily. Dose was increased by 300 milligrams every 3 days until the woman experienced adequate pain relief or she couldn't stand the side effects any longer. The maximum dose was 900 TID. So, you know, they got up to a pretty, you know, reasonable doses. After 4 months, they had data for 80% of the women, so reasonable follow-up. The average pain scores and worst pain scores decreased for women in both groups, but there was absolutely no difference between groups. On the other hand, the women who took gabapentin were a lot more likely to report dizziness or drowsiness, as we know from our patients who've taken gabapentin, particularly at higher doses. Number needed to harm was 4 for each of those adverse effects. Study was large enough to detect a clinically important difference, so 1 point on a 10-point scale. So they did have enough patients to find a benefit that was meaningful if it was there to be found, but they didn't. So bottom line, in this study of highly adherent women with chronic pelvic pain, gabapentin was no more effective than placebo in providing pain relief and caused significantly more ill effects. And I had mentioned that run-in period, you know, if we had seen a benefit to gabapentin, you might say, well, maybe it's because of that active run-in period. Seeing no benefit, even though it was had some bias in favor of gabapentin, as I said, strengthens the conclusions.
As we've prescribed gabapentin for a lot of things where it's never been studied, if anything, it's used for this neuropathic pain. And We forget sometimes at medium and high doses that it is associated with drowsiness and dizziness.
Yeah. And there have been studies. There have been a number of studies in chronic low back pain with and without radiculopathy, post-op pain, knee pain, vulvodynia, all were negative. And, you know, just because pain involves a nerve doesn't mean it's neuropathic, right? And so, you know, unfortunately, gabapentin, you know, it is helpful for some kind like diabetic neuropathy and other kinds of peripheral neuropathies, but not for these other chronic conditions.
I mean, my experience is even there, it's not a home run. It's helpful, but
no.
The problem is that the manufacturers of gabapentin have benefited enormously from this push away from narcotics. And you know, doctors want to prescribe something, and you know there is a placebo effect with anything, and so they're actually being able to capitalize on that, I think, quite a bit.
Well, I think we've had this conversation, but you know, would it be ethical to prescribe a low, you know, almost homeopathic dose like 300 milligrams twice a day to patients where they would have minimal side effects, but perhaps harness that placebo effect?
Thanks, Mark. We'll talk again in a week.
Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.